This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Now, let's get to questions. We talked a little bit about how the limit on saturated fat is unnecessary, according to the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, an esteemed journal, in part one, and that squeezed out some of our questions. Plus, it was a long discourse on my own personal journey with knee meniscus surgery.
All right. We have an email from Gabe. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, thank you for all that you do. I love your show and podcast. I find it very informative. January, February, I developed a viral upper respiratory illness. It was followed by chronic cough, intermittent breathing.
Hold that. Sputum. Hold that thought. Viral upper respiratory illness. You know, it's an interesting article came out yesterday or this week, which has as its premise that the number of people who have had coronavirus in the United States, especially in some of these hotspots like New York, is vastly underestimated. Why? Because we didn't have the testing, and a lot of people were sick, and nobody will know. But what they based it on was very interesting. They said every year there's a spike in the number of cases of colds and flus, and so that's like predictable every year. It's, you know, it's more or less the same.
Yeah.
This year, before the coronavirus was being tested for, they saw a spike that was so much bigger than the usual spike, but the people were never tested. The people were never tested. And so what they say in this article is that the number of initial cases in that early period might have been 40 times higher than what was documented through testing. But we'll never know. It's an estimate. It's just a projection based on the overall statistics of who got sick. So I'm just saying.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. So Gabe was given a round of amoxicillin after a testing of the sample. It improved the symptoms, but it didn't resolve the cough completely. Now, when he gave another sputum sample, it grew out Haemophilus influenza, which is now beta-lactamase positive and resistant to amoxicillin.
Let's just chunk this. What was found was a bacteria, okay? Even though it has the name Haemophilus influenza, or H-flu, as we sometimes abbreviate it in medicine, it is not a virus. It's not the influenza. It is a Haemophilus organism, which is a bacteria. Okay. Ordinarily, Haemophilus is treated with amoxicillin.
Yeah.
Okay.
His is resistant to
amoxicillin. Exactly.
And cephalosporins.
Okay. Yeah. So here's the deal. Then they sometimes give amoxicillin with probenecid, which takes care of the beta-lactamase resistance, but that doesn't work in this case, okay?
So his physician is recommending an X-ray and another antibiotic. Do you have any suggestions or advice from an integrative medicine approach to resolve my persistent cough. I have no medical problems. Yeah. I don't smoke. I don't take medicine. I try to do this with vitamin C and zinc, but I still have this cough.
I mean, you could look at some point, bacteria. First, it might have been a viral thing that was the trigger. The viral thing, one of the reasons why people get sick with viruses is because then there's a secondary infection with bacteria. That's actually thought to be one of the major causes of death in the Spanish flu. We'll never know because there weren't no antibiotics then. It's maybe many lives could have been saved when people developed secondary infections with bacteria then. That's happening also with some of the patients who have coronaviruses. They're getting secondary infections, co-infections, and then they get antibiotics, which seems counterintuitive because it's a virus, but they also have coexisting bacterial infections. So anyway, at this point, something has taken hold deep in the lungs. The lungs, you know, it because of age or air pollution, the lungs may be less effective at clearing infection. The bacteria may have found a nice place to sequester, and it's hard for the immune system to get there because part of the lung may be a little weaker or damaged. And so you need to go to a different antibiotic. That's what they do. And this is almost somewhat done randomly. They cultured it and they found that it's resistant. Then they could probably find, based on the culture and sensitivity, you know, they culture, they see something grows out, then they bomb it with different antibiotics and they see which antibiotic gets rid of it. Then they can come up with a sensitivity. They can say it's likely, you know, based on our test tube model of your infection, that this antibiotic is going to wipe it out. So you're going to have to go to something else. And that sometimes it's a trial and error thing. It's like, we tried this, we tried that, we tried that. Okay, so what can you do naturally? You build, you know, you build the terrain up. You build the immune system up. And, you know, we talked about so many things that are helpful for that. Vitamin D and vitamin C and zinc and selenium and, you know, perhaps, you know, mushroom extracts, HCC, cordyceps.
Oh, HCC is a wonderful idea.
Maitake, you know, things like that. You know, I have a whole list of things that support the immune system, you know, at drhoffman.com. I mean, but I'm afraid, you know, you want to stick to your holistic guns, but I'm afraid that if this persists,
you may need another antibiotic.
You may need a stronger antibiotic. And this is the problem with antibiotic resistance.
Be cleared with NAC or something, right?
Yeah, this is the problem with antibiotic resistance is that, you know, we've deployed so many antibiotics, and we do it in agriculture, too. We do it with, you know, raising poultry and livestock, that the germs become, you know, adapt, and they become superbugs, and they become resistant. And then we have to use more and more powerful antibiotics, and pretty soon we're running out of antibiotics. But, I don't know, they might try something like Zithromax, you know, Z-Pak or something like that, or they might try Cipro or something like that. I mean, it's not great, but sometimes you have to eradicate an infection.
Gabe, we hope you feel better soon.
I mean, if this person can get to a clinic where they do intravenous vitamin C, it might hasten the body's resolution of the infection. That could be helpful.
Oh, IV vitamin C is a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You want to break now and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share their message with our listeners? So here goes. Please listen up. Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Living with pain can cause depression, overeating, anxiety, loss of sleep, and low quality of life. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposome technology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It contains powerful antioxidant properties and plant-based curcumin used to possibly reduce inflammation and block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com. That's future, P-H-A-R-M. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make this program possible. So let's get to some additional questions. Radio program at AOL.com, the destination for questions. We're so happy to see that amidst the lockdown, and amidst a lot of you know, media opportunities. A lot of people are availing themselves of the opportunity to pose questions, so keep them coming. Radioprogram@AOL.com.
Okay, we've got an email from Gene. I'd like to hear your take on the recent retractions of anti-chloroquine studies by both The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine. Did they retract because they got caught publishing questionable work? And what does it say about the other things or the other times they publish?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I don't know if you've been following this lately. I have, because chloroquine is one of the controversies we talk about on my radio program. So what happened, just to recap, is that both The Lancet and New England Journal of Medicine published slightly different studies, which A, show the uselessness of hydroxychloroquine for dealing with patients hospitalized with COVID-19, but also showing a hazard, an increased risk, especially of heart problems, which is a known side effect of hydroxychloroquine. Although when I talked to, I had a nice discussion with Dr. Steven Sinatra, America's foremost integrative cardiologist, and he's a really good cardiologist. He says, I haven't really seen that, you know, and this is an old drug. It's been around for a long time. You've seen a lot of patients on hydroxychloroquine. They don't have cardiac arrhythmias. But, I mean, let's be open to the possibility that patients who are very sick, they're a little more vulnerable, that, you know, they get a powerful medication and they get, you know, a cardiac arrhythmia, which could be dangerous. Okay, so it's possible. You know, what happened with the studies is that in this frenetic environment in which they want to accelerate news you can use, because this is a crisis, they kind of did sort of a shoddy vetting process on the studies and accelerated their publication, because once you're published in a prestigious journal, this actually had consequences. What it led to, the World Health Organization urge a ban on trials of hydroxychloroquine. They basically said, this, you know, the science is settled. You know, no more hydroxychloroquine based on these studies. Well, they looked at these studies. These studies were produced by an organization that had only 5 employees that had anonymous data, that had data that looked very suspicious, because the data, you know, across several continents comprising 100,000 patients with COVID-19, there were no differences between the characteristics of the patients in Africa, the patients in Europe, the patients in the United States, the patients in Latin America, which doesn't make sense, because we know that those countries have different characteristics. And so some people challenged it on that basis, and then they said, let's see the data. Now, normally, I mean, if I publish a paper that says, I think that, you know, intravenous vitamin C is really great for lung infections, you know, like this previous question, they're going to say, great, let's see the data. I want to see the actual, the anonymized name of the patient, exactly, you know, the raw data. This company could not produce the raw data. They said, oh, no, we just aggregate the data. Well, what does that mean? Like, and then some countries and some hospitals said, yeah, but we never shared the data with this company, so we don't know where this company got the data from. And then it turned out that the, I don't know, it just seemed like a whole kind of a shady operation.
And that got published, unfortunately.
But, see, what's even worse is there's political ramifications to this, because, you know, it's kind of like, complete shutdown mentality versus a let her rip mentality. It seems that one of the spectrums is associated with the left wing and one is associated with the right wing. And it seems like, being for hydroxychloroquine is a right wing proposition, and being against hydroxychloroquine, it's a left-wing proposition, because this, you know,
it's all become politicized.
Because Trump endorsed hydroxychloroquine, seemingly endorsed it. He took it, you know, and they want to demonstrate, you know, if Trump endorsed it, it's got to be bad. Now, I will say this, is I don't know if hydroxychloroquine really works, but studies like this do not help, because they just make this more murky. I suspect that hydroxychloroquine may have a more of a role in the early phases or preventively, if you just catch it early. I don't know.
Not when they're already on a ventilator.
Yeah, when you're on a ventilator, it's almost like you're on this, like an express train to doom. You know,
yeah.
It's the momentum towards death is so great that, you know, a medication like that is not going to forestall it. You know, I think at the end of the day, hydroxychloroquine, may have been somewhat helpful, but I don't think at the, you know, in a year or two, if this still is around, that they'll be using a lot of hydroxychloroquine, because other drugs will be superseding it. They may be more targeted. There's even, you know, other old drugs. I mean, the beauty of hydroxychloroquine was an old drug. It was readily available, pretty safe. So, you know, people said, let's use it. What they now know is that dexamethasone, which is a really cheap drug, pennies per dose, is helpful for preventing really sick patients from dying. It's a steroid. Another medication, colchicine, I saw written up in the Jerusalem Post recently. Israeli researchers have seen that colchicine
for gout?
Colchicine for gout can be helpful.
Yeah.
They say can be helpful potentially. And again, that's a very old medication, very cheap. It's used, you know, by millions of people for gouty attacks every year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just does something to reduce the inflammation. So, will hydroxychloroquine prevail? Look, I think it's a black eye for the Lancet and New England Journal, is that they succumb to pressure, and I think politicization, to validate somebody's agenda. And somebody's agenda is that hydroxychloroquine is a waste of time, and Trump is a boob for endorsing it.
Right.
You know,
all at the expense of the public's health.
Right, right. I mean, I still don't know if it's, it might be a little bit helpful. This I know, and I don't have vast experience in this because I'm not in the hospital. I do know of a couple of patients that I've talked to who say that hydroxychloroquine really turned it around for them. That may be coincidental, or it may be real, but it seemed so related to their use of hydroxychloroquine. I talked to one guy, and he was sort of languishing along. You know, he called me up, and he's, you know, he's actually a friend, and he said, "Ron, I have 103 fever. I just can't shake this. I've 10 days. I've been sick. I'm just worried that I'm going to just become exhausted and end up in the hospital." And I said, "Let me try and get some hydroxychloroquine for you." Finally, we got some for him, and within 48 hours, it turned it around. Okay, now maybe he was due for recovery already. I mean, that's an N of one. We need a study. But I don't know if that study in this politically charged climate can even be done anymore on hydroxychloroquine. And by the way, there are studies that show that it does work, but that's not uncommon in medicine. Is that some studies say that something works, some studies say that it doesn't work. It remains controversial.
Yeah. Gene, thank you for that incredibly thoughtful question. That was great.
Great. Yeah. Important issue. I mean, and look, I mean, I got to say, you got to look at studies in journals, and I've done this repeatedly. I'm like, studies that show that fish oil doesn't work at all. Okay, fish oil doesn't work at all. Then I look at the study, and they gave one fish oil pill to people, you know, over a short period of time, and the placebo was an olive oil capsule. You know, so and then subsequently, the drug company comes out with a supercharged version of fish oil, which is, you know, chemically identical to EPA. And it's the bomb. It works terrifically. 40% reduction in cardiovascular risk. So how do you reconcile those two studies? That's the nature of studies, unfortunately.
Yeah. And there it is.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. All right.
Right.
Oh, boy. All right. We have an email from Marianne. "Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I'm a longtime listener. Thank you for the great show. There's recently a treatment on the horizon called BAM15.
Bam!
For weight loss. Bam!
Bam!
BAM15.
That's
bam.
Like by, what's his name? The
Emeril.
Emeril. Bam!
With his seasonings, right.
Bam!
So BAM15, which works by making mitochondria less efficient.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were supposed to desire more efficient mitochondria.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, Marianne.
Yes. Yeah.
When you want to lose weight, you want to burn calories willy-nilly all mm-hmm. over the place. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot. Meaning you want it to be inefficient burning of calories.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You need fuel oil or gas for your furnace.
Right.
If you burn a lot of fuel
yes.
oil or so gas, it's inefficient, but you're burning a lot. Call
that's
that
a good,
now
that's,
calories.
That's
you
a good analogy.
A lot of calories so that
yeah.
you could lose weight.
That's a good analogy because, like, you can say to the company that delivers you the fuel oil, they say, I don't get it. My, like, fuel oil bills are going through the roof.
Right.
What's going on here? And they will say, and then when your fuel oil goes to the roof, then you have less reserve. Now, in the body,
yes.
the reserve is converted to fat. So, I can see,
yeah.
though, and they may say, well, oh, we'll get you a new burner because your burner is inefficient. We want a more efficient utilization of that energy so that it converts it to heat, and then mm-hmm. you do have less, bills for food. Now, here's
right.
the thing. I have a quibble with the word inefficiency. I think that's kind of an imprecise word because,
yeah.
Conversely, in diabetes, where people become obese, and they're taking in tons of food. They become super hungry, but, you know, they don't have any energy. They feel exhausted. That's also mitochondrial inefficiency. And it's actually thought that diabetes is a mitochondrial disease where the mitochondria don't, utilize energy for burning efficiently. So in effect, all that extra fuel hangs around, doesn't get burned, and gets stored as fat. Okay, so I got a problem with that word inefficiency. What you say is absolutely true, but inefficiency cuts both ways.
Here's the simple way.
Yeah.
You want to burn a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Now, depending on the context in which you burn that energy, it's either desirable or not. If you want to lose weight, you want to burn a lot of energy. That means you want to burn a lot of calories so
right.
that you lose weight.
Right.
But you don't want to burn a lot of energy in your heating system.
Right.
Because you want to keep the bills down.
Right, right. So for an example of where somebody has a metabolic, I guess, a form of inefficiency is the opposite, where people have what's called cachexia. And cachexia
yes.
occurs in certain disease states where it's very high energy.
Like cancer.
You know, mm-hmm. cancer or ulcerative colitis or something like that, where
yeah.
the body has enormous energy needs, but you just lose, you dwindle down to nothing. You become frail. That's also a form of inefficiency that with the opposite consequences that you lose weight. Okay.
Right.
So, I don't know precisely how this medication works to create this inefficiency, but it worked, you know, the net result is that some weight loss occurs. The concern I have is will it have other adverse effects? Because, usually if there's an on-target effect like weight loss, there may be some other off-target effects, like maybe less good energy utilization by the cells. I don't know. You know,
yeah.
at what cost will you lose weight? You know, it's great that, you know, experimental animals lose weight with BAM15, but,
yeah.
you know, what's it going to be like when we unleash it on the human population?
Right.
It might, you know, have some deleterious consequences, you know.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, every week there's some new breakthrough weight loss strategy that's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how companies rise and fall, you know, with private equity and investors and, you know, build, positions on the stock market is with projections of some breakthrough strategy that usually crashes and burns, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Marianne, thank you for that very thoughtful question. All right.
I think we're running a little short on time. Is something
yeah.
you can answer really quickly, or is it going to be a dissertation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's save some questions for next week.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't preclude you from sending your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. We'll get to them eventually. And we appreciate them very much. Thank
yes,
you, Layla.
Yes, we do.
And
thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
All the best to you as you hopefully emerge from lockdown. And, you know, let's hope that the much touted second wave doesn't materialize, and that
right.
You know, we'll all be getting haircuts like me.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.